We're going to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. I've heard a lot about spiritual warfare. You have too. A lot of what I've heard, well, let me put it like this. At this point in my life, a lot of what I've heard about spiritual warfare, I realize, well, it just isn't right. Some of it is. A lot of it is. But there are some things about spiritual warfare that have been taught which are kind of confusing, misleading, and actually divert people's attention away from what really is going on. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read a very familiar story. We're going to pick it up in, well, actually in verse, it leads up to it, in chapter 4, you know, Jesus tells the disciples to get in a ship, go to the other side, and then a storm rises up, and Jesus, he's in the rear of the ship, he's asleep. The disciples say, "We're going to die, what's the matter with you, don't you care?" Jesus stands up and he says, "Peace, be still," and the storm ceases, there was great calm. And in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Okay, pause. You ever hear these people that cut themselves? Now you know the origin. It doesn't mean they're demon-possessed, but they're influenced. No human, in their right mind or right influence, cuts themselves. But verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, and he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I don't know about you, but that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? I mean, here's a guy that was breaking chains and fetters and cutting himself and howling like a wolf and all kinds of stuff, man. I mean, who wouldn't be scared? And, I said that as a figure of speech. I mean, truly, no Christian should be afraid. And they see the guy in his right mind, and they're afraid. It's like, okay, wait a second. You'd rather him be like he was, where nobody could tame him, and you were all afraid to get anywhere near where you thought he might be? And this guy being normal scares you? I'll tell you why it scared them in just a moment. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Now they're talking to Jesus, "Please leave, please go away." And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, just to give you a little bit of background here, it says here in verse 20 that he, the man who had been filled with those devils, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, or he began to tell everybody in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and it says that all did marvel. Now, Decapolis is not the name of a city. Decapolis is like a compound word. Deca means 10, polis, city. It's 10 cities, Decapolis. It was a region that was made up, what we would refer to as a metropolitan region. It was made up of 10 cities. And real briefly, the cities were Gerasa, Scythopolis, Hippus, Pella, Philadelphia, Capitolius, Canatha, Rephana, Damascus, and Gadara. They went to the region of the Gadarenes, Gadara. This is where that man was from. That was one of the 10 cities. And it says here that he began to go among these Decapolis, or he began to travel from city to city. In a way, you could say he was like an evangelist. But he began to tell everybody, this is what Jesus has done for me. I have no doubt but what this man's former reputation had preceded him in these cities. People knew about the wild man. Well, it says here that, you know, Jesus shows up and he tells this spirit to come out. And if you read the account of this, you can go over to Luke and, you know, wherever else it's recorded here. But, you know, this thing put up a little bit of a resistance. And then Jesus says, what is thy name? What is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Okay, now, in that region, I did some research on this here a while back. In that region of the Gadarenes, there was a Roman legion assigned to watch over, make sure everybody did what Rome said to do. Now, a Roman legion could be as many as 6,000 soldiers. In this particular region, those soldiers had a reputation for being overly harsh and violent toward the people, more so than Romans typically were, Roman soldiers and other areas. So here we have this unclean spirit. It's dwelling in this man, and it manifests itself by way of violent acts through this man. Well, that's a reflection of what was happening there in that region. And when Jesus says, you know, what's your name? He says, my name is Legion. Well, now let's think about this. Do you really think that this devil's mama named him after a Roman legion? I mean, really? Do you think? No, that's silly. So why was he called Legion? Well, because of what he was doing. And it's going to be very clear here in just a few minutes. And the devils, they said, send us into the swine. And so Jesus says, fine, go. Well, the unclean spirits, you know, it says they went out, they entered into the swine, and the pigs went crazy, ran into the water, and drowned themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but I personally have never seen a herd of pigs. I have seen pigs kept in a pen. I've also never seen, I mean, here it says there were like 2,000 pigs. I've never seen that many pigs. That's a lot of pigs. I mean, to me, that represents one of the greatest feasts in human history. You have any idea how much bacon we could get out of 2,000 pigs? How many barbecue ribs we could get? Okay. You know, this is sounding pretty good here. Sausage. I mean, man, I'm getting hungry. So anyway, these pigs, come to find out, in this region, you know, they worship all kinds of different gods and what all, but one of the primary gods they worshiped was represented by the pig. So I can, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, why did the devils want to do that? Well, because they saw that would be a safe haven. I mean, everybody worships the pigs around here, so if we go and get the pigs, then everything's going to be okay. Well, they go and they get the pigs. I don't think they counted on the pigs going crazy and running into the water and drowning themselves. That right there tells you that pigs are smarter than what you might think. So they run violently down, and 2,000 pigs, can you imagine all the squealing? Anyway, the people, can you imagine? I can't take the sound. So the pigs die, the people show up, and they're afraid. Why were they afraid? Because now the pig god is going to be mad at them because all of his pigs are dead, floating in the water. You know, and so they asked Jesus to leave. This is crazy. Jesus solved a problem for these folks. Well, they didn't see it that way. And so Jesus, he said, okay, fine, I'll get back in the boat. And this guy wants to leave and go with Jesus, and I don't blame him. You know, here's the guy that got me delivered, but at the same time, these people are crazy. They ought to be happy for me that I got delivered, and they're not. They're scared. They're afraid. You know, why do they need to be afraid now? I'm in my right mind. Well, Jesus says, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell people what I've done for you. And so he does. You know, he starts traveling around, telling everybody what the Lord did. But when people read this, they see that Jesus says, what is your name? And the devil says, my name is Legion, for we are many. A misunderstanding of this passage has led to all kinds of foolishness in spiritual warfare. And now, people, when they think they're dealing with a devil, what is your name? They want to find out the name of the devil. Why? You know, my name's Ralph. I mean, why? Why? Well, see, but that's the way we're taught. Well, you need to find out the name of the devil. Do you realize that out of all the devils that Jesus cast out, this is the only time where he said, show me some identification? I mean, this is it. This is the only time he did that. Now, it identifies this thing as an unclean spirit, all right? And what's your name? My name is Legion. All right, let's take a look at something else. With this in mind, turn over to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus is speaking, and he says, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Okay, now Jesus says in verse 20, I have a few things against you, because you sufferest, or you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Okay, question. How is this possible? Because according to Scripture, you go back to 1 Kings, you can read about Jezebel, Ahab, I mean, all that stuff that happened back then. Okay, that was about one 3,000 years prior to this in Revelation. And not only that, if you go back and read the story of Jezebel, you're going to read how that she was tossed out the window and went splat on the ground, and dogs came and ate her. I mean, that's gross, you know, but the dogs came and ate her. Okay, so dogs, plural, ate Jezebel. How does she end up here in verse 20? See this? How could she be here? She'd be over 1,000 years old, and how'd she get out of the dogs and get reassembled? Now, I'm not trying. I know it's like, well, that's weird, Brother Martin. I know it's weird. But Jesus is not talking about the 1,000-year-old Jezebel who was dead and eaten by the dogs. What he's talking about is a demonic spirit that's influencing people. Actually, it may indeed have been a woman who had been manipulating and so forth to the point to where the spirit that motivated the original Jezebel was working on the woman referenced in this passage. And so Jesus references this thing as this person as Jezebel. But was it really Jezebel? No. Was it a demon named Jezebel? No, it was not. Just like it wasn't a demon named Legion. And herein lies the problem. Too many Christians want to give names to demons when it's totally inappropriate. It's not relevant. Now, I know some people are going to get really upset with me. Well, you know what? Go ahead and get upset. That's all right. I'm right. You're wrong. Nothing personal. Because you can't find a pattern in Scripture of people running around talking to devils and asking them, what's your name? Who are you? What'd your mama call you? No, see, that's not in Scripture. What you do see is a description of what the devils do. And by using a name like Jezebel, we're identifying not the name of a demon, we're identifying what a demon is doing in a person's life. For example, I've heard some, you know, things, maybe something along the lines of this: there's a Jezebel spirit. Or no, let me correct this. Jezebel is influencing that church. Well, no, she's not. No, but there may be a demon operating in that church and influencing people the way Jezebel did things in Scripture. Jezebel, when you go back and you read in Kings, Jezebel was one woman, okay? You got just one person. But you can have a, quote, Jezebel in churches all over the place. You can have a Jezebel in homes all over the place. You can have a Jezebel here and a Jezebel there. It's not a demon spirit named Jezebel. It is a demon spirit influencing people to act in the way that Jezebel did in Scripture. In fact, if you want to know what a Jezebel spirit does, or if you want to know what a spirit does when it's influencing people to act like Jezebel, go back and read in 1 Kings, and then read here what Jesus said in Revelation. There you go. Now you know what a, quote, Jezebel spirit does. In Ephesians chapter 6, you don't have to turn to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see about, you know, the powers. Well, okay, yes, go ahead and turn over. Ephesians chapter 6. We do see a bit about spiritual warfare. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, there you go. Here we see a description of what you might call Satan's hierarchy in the demonic world. Well, again, a lot of Christians get caught up with, okay, well, am I dealing with a principality? Or am I dealing with a power? Am I dealing with, say, a ruler of the darkness? What am I dealing with here? And some Christians, they get kind of odd. They think, well, okay, you're dealing with a, you're dealing with a principality. And a principality is high ranking. So therefore, what we have to do is rent a hot air balloon and then go up in the air so we can do warfare against the principality. Or we have to go to the tallest building in town and go to the top floor and do warfare against the principality. Seriously. But see, that's what a lot of people think. But why should you have to do that? What you mean, like, you can't? You mean if you stand down here on the ground and go, yo, principality, you know, he's going to say, what? Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Come up a little higher. Now see, that sounds foolish, and it is foolish, but if you think that's what you're supposed to do, and a lot of people think that's what they're supposed to do, well, then people do things like that. So we do see here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, a reference to categories, if you will, of devils. But when it comes to dealing with demons, so many Christians, they just don't get it. Okay, now let me throw this out. Let me kind of paint it from a different angle here. Well, you know what his problem is? He's got a spirit of alcoholism. Okay? What does that mean? Well, there's an alcohol devil that's attacking him and influencing him to drink. Oh, okay. Well, what about that guy over there? Oh, he's got a drug demon making him take, you know, heroin. Okay. Well, what about her over there? Oh, she's got a harlot demon. That's why she does that stuff. Okay. And so you go down the list and you say, well, what's that person got? Well, he's got a tobacco demon. What about that person over there? Oh, they got a gossip devil. And so what we do is we begin creating all these categories. And then, you know, if there's a problem, we want to try and find out what kind of devil are we dealing with here? So let's diagnose the symptoms. They do this, they do that. This person does the other thing and so on. Okay, yeah. Now we know what we're dealing with, a spirit of seduction. Are we? In other words, do we need to find out, do we need to go like to a spiritual doctor for a diagnosis so we know what kind of devil we're dealing with before we do anything? But isn't that kind of the way it goes in the body of Christ? I mean, there's no such thing as a spiritual doctor. But a lot of Christians sit around and talk about, you know, well, what kind of devil does that person have? Well, my kids have a spirit of rebellion. No, your kids are just rebellious. Trust me, there are a lot of kids don't need a devil's help. And didn't the Bible say something about the rod? You know? Which is interesting because if it's a devil, no matter how hard you beat, you can't drive the devil out. But apparently not all rebellion is demonic. Because according to the Word of God, if you use the rod, you'll drive some of that out. And it's not a demon. Now, a lot of people talk about, well, some of the stuff that's going on today in this world. A lot of the immorality. And I can remember years ago, and don't anybody get mad at me, okay? But when I was growing up, men who liked men were called queers. All right? I mean, that's just the way it was. They were called queers. And, you know, there were slang names, you know, like, you know, well, fag, okay? But that's just the way it was. We didn't have quite the same colorful names for women who liked women. But it still was out there. Well, nowadays, you know, you got some really strange stuff going on. You have men who like men and women who like women and men who like women and men and women who like men and women and men who want to dress like women, but they like women, and women, you know, this starts to get complicated. And they have all these letters of the alphabet assigned to all these groups, you know, LGBT, XYZ, you know, QRS. And I don't even know what all the letters mean. They've created new ones. Now, does that mean that somehow we have more demons doing this stuff? Say it a little differently. Some people would say something like, well, you know, he's like that because he has a homosexual devil. Or she's like that because she has, I mean, they'll use the term lesbian, but homosexual is the word that applies whether male or female. Well, she has, you know, a lesbian demon. He's got a homosexual demon. No. It's not true. Here's what's true. It is a demon spirit focusing on perversions to try and lead people into those activities. In other words, it's not like Satan says, okay, now, all you devils, you are homosexual devils. And you go do this. Now here's what goes on. There are demons that hate us. Well, actually, all demons do. So, they're looking for weak areas in your life. Do you understand this? And so, you know, they start testing the waters with different things, with different people. It's not just Christians. I mean, it's human beings. They start testing the waters. Can we get you involved with? Can we influence you to do? How about if we observe your reaction when you see, and let's see, okay, and if they begin to notice a propensity in you for a something, it doesn't have to be sexual stuff. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be temper. It could be all kinds of stuff. Something that contradicts what we see in Scripture as being of God. And if they find a weak area, they're going to do everything they can to exploit that. You know, Jesus, I didn't write this verse down, but he said something about, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you know, Satan's coming after me, but he has nothing in me. In other words, he's tried to find a weak area, and he can't find a weak area. When you talk about this spirit of perversion, or a demon that's capitalizing or focusing on trying to drive people into that, look, every single one of us, I'm not trying to be gross here, and there are no kids in here, every single one of us has a sex drive. In all of humanity, what, 7 billion people? Okay, everybody has a sex drive. For some people, it's stronger than others. If a demon can capitalize on that and drive you into that direction, guess what you're going to do? Well, you will yield, okay? Now, if that demon can drive you in any particular direction, he's going to do it, or it's going to do it. And this would include any of the perversions we see going on today. Okay, now think about this. Repeatedly, you hear stories about a man, it's usually always a man, sometimes it's women, but usually always a man, how he says, after he's arrested or whatever, he says, it started out with pornography. Just plain old normal man-woman pornography. And then I began watching other kinds of pornography. And then I began acting on these things. And repeatedly, these kind of people, they talk about how it progressed into other areas of perversion. Well, why is that? Well, it started with this. It started with simple perversion. And then it progresses into what some people might call deviant perversions. Okay, well, how did that happen? It's because that person had a weak area in them. And it could be, I mean, even Christians can do this. They just have to deal with a new nature, conscience on the inside, and sear it. And so what happens is, you know, this devil begins driving this and driving this and driving this to the point to where this person is yielding more and more and more into those areas. But every single one of us here, watching, listening, every single one of us has the potential to make those kind of choices, even as Christians. Because, well, especially in the area of immorality, because of the pleasure that's associated with it. And what happens is, I mean, even research, I mean, you can check this out on the internet. There are some websites you can read about these things without getting into the perverse websites. That during times of intimacy, endorphins are released, and it's like a chemical high. Okay, that can be, you ever heard somebody referred to as a sex addict? It isn't sex they're addicted to. What they're addicted to is the chemical high that takes place during the sex. And it's very similar to other types of drug addiction. Very similar. Well, once people begin doing that, and the devils can drive them into a particular area, they can actually influence them to being totally confused relative to what their desires are. Meaning, you know, if a devil can convince you that, you know, hey, you know, this is the way to do it, this is the way to go, and some people are more susceptible to influence than others. Even in the natural world, we hear about type A and type B personalities and so forth. Well, see, when demons are working, they're trying to find how they can influence a person toward anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be fear. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be fleshly immorality. It's anything. Anything at all. And demons don't necessarily have, you know, a particular name. You know, my name is Goliath, and I'm going to destroy you. Well, there's not a devil out there that's got the name Goliath. I mean, I don't know how devils refer to themselves in the devil world, okay? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, you might, I'll say it in this fashion, I'm battling a Goliath devil. Well, what does that mean? I constantly have these feelings that I'm going to be destroyed, that I'm going to be taken down, that everything's going to fall apart, that, you know, I'm going to lose. I mean, however you want to describe. See what I'm saying? Now, why would it be called a Goliath devil? Because that's the way Goliath approached the nation of Israel. And through his words, he instilled fear in the people. Okay? But then another way to look at this is, I'm battling a Jericho devil. So what in the world's a Jericho devil? Well, you know, all I can do is sit around and think about how that I'm never going to go any further. I'm just stuck right here. Remember what happened? Israel crosses over. There's Jericho. And it looked like no way can you beat this thing. Well, they did. You know the story. Marched around and yay, yell, the walls fell down. All right? Well, I'm battling a Jericho devil. Well, you're not battling a devil with the name of Jericho. What you're doing is you're describing what this thing is doing. And when Christians get caught up trying to figure out, you know, what's your name, devil? What's your name? What's your name? I can imagine demons just love that if they have that kind of capacity. They just laugh at it. What's my name? What's my name? And I've heard stories of people doing that, the demon just mocking them, and my name is this, and just making things up and just dragging it out. Why spend that much time? Why? Turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark, you already know where I'm going. Mark chapter 16. You want to know how to deal with this stuff? It's pretty simple. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Jesus says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." There you go. That's it. In my name. Okay, you read that and you think, that's right. You know, boy, if I come in contact with people that have devils. Wait a second. He didn't say cast devils out of people. Did he? He said you cast out devils. Oh, we got devils in our house. We need to cast them out. I need to call the pastor and have him come over. In other words, you don't believe. But you got to get somebody in there who does. In my name shall they cast out devils. I remember when I was a kid. I was 6, 7, 8, something like that. And in the house at night, I'm telling you, it sounded like somebody was walking up the basement steps. One step at a time. Just, you know. And it scared me so much. Well, in my little kid mind, you know, I'm thinking Frankenstein is coming. Seriously. I think Frankenstein's coming up from the basement. Man, how'd he get down there? I don't know, but he's coming up. How does Santa Claus get down the chimney when you don't have a chimney? I don't know. But I thought for sure, you know, Frankenstein was coming up. I thought there was something. I didn't. In my little kid mind, I'm not thinking there's a demon in the basement. No, a monster, okay? And this went on, and I told my mom, and, you know, oh, he's down there, somebody's going. Sometimes, you know, Mom, middle of the night, you know, why'd I call Mom? Because Mom would always get out of bed. Dad just stayed there and slept. Mom! And she'd come in, oh, there's somebody coming up the steps. There's a monster. That's why I said, no, there's not. No, there's not. Well, anyway, years later, I found this out. Now, we were Baptists, okay? We were good Baptists. We were good Southern Baptists, all right? Best kind now, hallelujah. So, but I remember, I mean, years later, I'm an adult, and Mom told me that she got concerned because this was happening a lot for me. Not every night, but it was happening. And so what she did one day was walk up and down the steps and said, "In the name of Jesus, you devils, get out of this house. You leave." And she never told me she did that. But she said, from that day on, you never again heard those sounds. Yeah. And I didn't know it until I was adult, and she told me that. It's like, wow, praise God. Now, listen, for a good Southern Baptist, yeah. to figure that out, she had... Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. But no. She saw it in the Word of God. And so she applied it. And she wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow, can you imagine that? A Baptist casting out a devil in the name of Jesus. This is your answer right here. In my name. Now, I understand about that. Why couldn't we cast them out? You know, because of your unbelief. Well, my mom didn't have unbelief at that time. So I do understand the element of unbelief and building our faith up and so forth. Okay, I agree with that. But you're just wasting your time to have conversations with devils. What is your name? Where did you come from? Did you know the Apostle Paul? Come on, this is, you think I'm joking about this stuff. This one time, this person's having this conversation, and this devil says, I'm going to tell you this, but there's a whole lot more to it. So anyway, this devil says, you know, I was on the ark with Noah. Okay, now hold on. What happened when they came out of the ark? Remember the story of Ham? The perversion? Remember that? So in that case, something legitimate was going on. And in that situation, there wasn't a whole lot of interrogation. I'm not coming out. I was on the ark. I mean, that is like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's cool. But you're still coming out. I remember one time I was in a service, and Pastor Dave Roberson was ministering, and this elderly woman, I mean, she had to have been at least 50, this old, this elderly woman, she, I don't know, 60s, 70s, she starts walking up the aisle like this, like a like zombie thing, okay, come walking up, and Pastor Dave looks at her and says, come out of her in Jesus' name. And, you know, she down on the floor. And then she's kind of, you know, he's ministering over here, but she's kind of wiggling around a little bit. I mean, not a whole lot, wiggling around a little bit. And so he stops and he walks back over and he says, that was not a request. And then he turned and just finished ministering to other people and she settled down. See, our authority goes beyond what we really understand. The scripture tells us the devils know there is one God and they tremble. Okay, here we are, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed, born again with God's life and nature on the inside of us. Dealing with this stuff is not as complicated as people make it out to be. But if that's how you believe it's supposed to be, it's going to be complicated. But when you come to the place of understanding, wait a minute, Jesus said the works that I do, Jesus said I could do his works. How did he do it? Come out of him, you unclean spirit. And the spirit went, and came out. It wasn't complicated. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. But if you buy into a lot of this stuff that's out there about spiritual warfare, you're going to be focused on, okay, step one, ask the devil its name. Okay, what's your name? It won't talk to me. Tell it in Jesus' name to tell you its name. In Jesus' name, tell me your name. Still won't talk. All it does is spit stuff on me. Now what do I do? You know. Now I'm exaggerating, but really that's how a lot of Christians handle this stuff. There's no reason to be afraid. Take authority. Take authority. And another thing, guys, every time something happens that isn't, say, a nice thing to have happen, it's not always a demon. It's not always a devil. You know, there aren't devils hiding behind every bush and every doorknob. It's just not like that. The human element is very involved in this world. You know, when you think of it this way, remember when God told Noah to build the ark? If you go back and you read that story, he does not make one reference to demon spirits influencing the people. What had happened was they had devolved in their lost sin nature to the point that their thoughts were always violent. And if you're a person who's lost, that potential is still there to sink that low. And they don't have to be full of devils. If it happened back in the Old Testament, it's still going to happen today. It's just that now people are born again. It's kind of weird. It's almost like a lot of Christians today think that since we have the ability to be born again, that everything has changed. No, it hasn't. Everything today is the same as it was thousands of years ago under the law. It's just that we're no longer under the law. We're born again. That's the change. That's the transition. But the devils that operate are still operating. And people can still cave in to the sin nature and turn into a Hitler. Turn into an Idi Amin. Turn into those people that mocked Noah. It can still happen. That's the potential of the sin nature in humanity. Not one time. Think about what those... all those priests and Pharisees did to Jesus. Not one time did he try and cast a devil out of them. Think about it. Not one time. But they acted like they had one. When you try to kill somebody who's teaching the Word of God, yeah, you'd think, well, I got a devil. What? Then why didn't Jesus cast it out? Because it wasn't a devil. Those people were just messed up. In my name, you're going to cast them out. Who cares what their name is? They're doing stuff. In the name of Jesus, stop it. Come out. I remember one time Pastor Dave Roberson was being interviewed, and the interview was played on the radio. I got a phone call. I mean, they verified what I'm getting ready to tell you was verified. Well, it just so happened that during the interview, there was a lady taking a bath, not where the interview was taking place. I mean, she was at home. She's at home, she's got the radio on, and she's listening to this, and he was talking about casting out devils, and I don't even know what all was said in the interview, but he was, you know, in the name of Jesus, come out, like that. Well, all of a sudden, this devil starts coming out of this lady, and she starts thrashing around in the bathtub. Yes! And Pastor Dave wasn't even there. Well, I mean, of course not. He's taking a bath. He wasn't in there with her. He said, okay, never mind. And he's telling this devil to come out. Didn't even know. And that thing responded to the authority that came through the radio. That is the potential and the authority that we have as Christians. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Guys, yes, devils can mess things up. We understand that. We have descriptions of what they can do and the hierarchy. We see what's in Ephesians. We know. But there is no fear in love. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. We don't have to be afraid of them. We acknowledge, yeah, they can do things. However, the greater one lives in us. Praise God. In my name, they shall cast out devils.